And this is...
My name's Stuart Langren.
My name's John O'Bacon.
Shot
Jack
of... Years ago, your programs worked on your files on your computer. There was no notion of collaboration, of network, of friends, of the internet. If you wanted to work together, you copied your data to a floppy disk and walked it across the building. Now, the world's not like that. Half your files are in cloud storage. Half of what you do is talking to people on the other side of the world. Disks are big and they're slow. Everything has to be asynchronous. Nothing in your programs these days can assume that a file loads quickly, or that the network's available, or that it's okay to block the user from working while something happens. This change requires a serious shift in the mental picture of how we do programming. There have always been libraries and code that help people work asynchronously. Twisted and Eventlet in Python are common examples, but Node.js, the JavaScript web server, is getting a lot of press. How will we cope with the change? How long will people resist before going async becomes the way that we work?
I have to say, when ACK first proposed this shot to me the other day, I spent about 5 minutes ridiculing him because I thought this was quite possibly the dullest topic in the world. And then we had a go at recording it, and I wasn't entirely convinced. But then, the day after, I actually had a go at porting an app from a more procedural way of working to an async way of working, and I absolutely get what you're saying now. It's really, really fucking bizarre.
It's this kind of whole
matrix-like alternative universe in terms of how you think when you write software. And yeah, it's bizarre.
While I'm doing my level best to avoid being so smug that I cause a smugness singularity in the destruction of the universe on this point, all I can realistically say is, I told you so. It's interesting.
The only thing I've got to say is, nah.
Exactly. Going async is this huge, big mental change, and it's difficult to really grasp that until you try it. You know, the idea of... Everyone who's grown up programming is wired by the idea that essentially you go, I'll do this, and then I'll do this, and then I'll do this, and then I'll do this in a procedural way. You know, do step one, step two, step three, step four, finish. And that's not how it works in an event-driven world.
Yeah, well, I have two examples of this to kind of illustrate the problem to our listeners who are not so familiar with this topic. So... I wrote a program called Learned, which basically allows you to connect to online learning events. And one of the things it does is when you run an event is it downloads a PDF of the slides. And today we were running an event, and so every person who's connected with Learned would go to the same web server and download the slides. Now, when I wrote the code for that, I was A, connecting to my local web server on my computer. And when I did test it, like, it was just me connecting to a remote web server. So therefore, there was no wait. So therefore, I could say, go and download the slides and then do this. Whereas when 380 people are connecting at the same time, there's a lag. And this is very visible in the Linux desktop that's shipping comp is because the application will kind of fade. It'll go gray. So you can very visibly see that it's waiting. And that's really bad. So, like, I never envisaged that problem beforehand. But now I know what I need to do is I need to download the slides and I need to then notify another callback once I've downloaded the slides so you know, it can continue. And that's a very bizarre way of... You know, I never foresaw the problem because I wasn't presented with the circumstances that cause the problem, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, well, this is precisely the point, that it's easy when you test something. It doesn't even need to be dealing with downloading things off the internet where there's lots of lag or anything. Anyone who's used a text editor, for example, and then tried to open a really big file with it, will know the experience of the thing locking up solid for 30 seconds while it reads through and passes that file. And you know, and you might think, well, okay, that's how long it takes to load, so I've basically got to wait that long. But if you're trying to edit something else in another tab in that editor, it's really infuriating. And and part of that is because the people who build text editors tend to think in terms of editing a file which is 5K. And don't think, I wonder what happens if I feed it a 200 megabyte MP3 and see what it does.
Yeah,
And that's exactly the kind of thing you've got to think about. You can't assume that loading files off the file system is instantaneous. You can't assume that loading a PDF across the internet is instantaneous. Because like you say, even if you've tested it yourself and it takes 1 second, you think, well, fine, I don't mind blocking the user for 1 second.
Yeah.
The first time they're using a 3G dongle in a cafe somewhere, or the first time they and 500 other people are all trying to get the same PDF, it takes 30 seconds. And while it takes 30 seconds, your application is locked up and you have the badge of I don't understand asynchronous programming, which is that it goes monochrome.
The impression I get is there's two reasons why why programmers struggle with this. I get the impression that, first of all, where we are right now in the history of programming, we still think very procedurally. You know, we still think, you know, like you said earlier on, you know, you do one thing and then you do another thing and then you do another thing. So I get the impression that that's part of the reason why people do it. But I also get the impression that it's one of those things whereby people think, you know what, I should really write this thing so it's async, right? You know, it's loading a file off the disk. I should really write it. But in reality, most of the time, it's going to be loading like files that aren't too big. And screw those people who load, you know, 100 gigabyte files, whatever. Whereas that's obviously not the thing, that's not the way to think about it. You know, I get the impression it's kind of analogous with like HTML validation. Like HTML docs would basically be saying, oh, you need to make sure you write validated HTML. Whereas a lot of people think, ah, I don't really care. I'll just write it this way. But it's important,
yes,
right?
It is. It's very much like setting up an application for translations. For example, the first time you do it, it's a faff. And a lot of the time, if you're just writing a relatively small application, then you might think, well, you know, the hell with it. I can't be bothered to go through and do all the get text stuff so it can be translated into French and German and Spanish and Chinese. I'll just, whatever, I don't care. But small applications tend to have a habit of becoming big applications and you never revisit the initial assumptions. And that's exactly the same problem with going async. If you think about it from the beginning, then you start off writing your application using Twisted, for example, in Python, and then you're forced to work asynchronously from the beginning, and therefore it never becomes a problem. It's where you start off with something relatively small, and then eventually it gets tricked up into something big that you hit the issue. This is basically what happened to Twitter. You know, it started off, and they had no problem serving 30 or 40,000 people, because if you have a lot of people hitting your server, you just chuck more RAM at it, and then it's able to deal with more problems. But when you've got everyone on the internet every second of every day describing what they've just had for dinner, you can't put enough RAM in a machine to make it be able to deal with all this stuff simultaneously. You have to start thinking asynchronously. And you have to basically grasp the idea of going async. And trying to turn half your program async is a lot harder than just going that way from the beginning. And that's what I mean about the big mental change. What's it going to take to convince people to go async from the start? In the same way that object orientation, when that came in, was a big deal and people didn't really grasp it. And eventually now we have the tools and we have the support for it in programming environments, and we have best practices and we have design patterns and so on about how
to do like that. Any change, isn't it? It's like when web developers started going from just writing static markup to using, you know, dynamic languages. Or even at a simpler level when people were working on layout. I remember you and I having a conversation moons ago where I was putting everything inside the table and you were like, no, do it with CSS. That's the right way to do it. And you were right. But at the time it was like people were just starting to get used to that way of doing things. But now everybody you'd never use nested tables, you know? So do you think that's part of it? Do you think it's just people like getting used to the new way of doing things? I mean, I know async has been around for a while, but...
Oh yeah, I absolutely do. But I think that's going to be hard for people to grasp, and what I want to see is much more in the way of best practice about how to do it and many more tools supporting it. I mentioned Twisted and Eventlet. Node.js is a web server which it essentially forces you to work async right from the beginning. And convincing more people that this is the way to do it. If Quickly, for example, when it built an application, actually built it with Twisted rather than building it as standard PyGTK, then that might be quite handy.
So we've got some ideas. We clearly think it's a problem. It's something that it's a problem and it's an opportunity at the same time, right? To make better apps and apps that our users prefer. So what do you folks think? I mean, we've started the conversation. It's now up to the wonderful Shot of Jack community to continue it. So go to shotofjack.org where you heard this shot and leave your comments right there.
Or you can go to shotofjack.org/discuss and you can work out how to talk to us on Twitter, assuming it hasn't fallen over through being synchronous. Or you can send us messages on Identica, which hasn't fallen over because they don't have enough users. Or you can send us an email, which is the original asynchronous network protocol. And we'll talk to you on the next Shot of Jack.
And I'm going to be asynchronous until Actus shut up and punch him in the spuds at the same time. We'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.